This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
2-1. Welcome back to the Wolverine.com podcast. I'm John Borton, and our guest today, as always early in these weeks, regardless of the fact that in season, out of season, Tom Crawford is a man for all seasons. You can catch him on as one of the all-stars on Press Pass with Jack Ebling on Sunday nights. You can catch him on the Crawford Podcasting Network, which he created and does all sorts of interesting content with. Tom, it is getting closer to that time of year that I know you appreciate and love, and that would, of course, be the football season. Big Ten meetings next week, and welcome back to the podcast. We're going to talk all about it.
Yeah, it's great. It's, you know, it's 90 degrees out. It's going to be 90 degrees out for the next 2 weeks, but who cares? I mean, as you look at the calendar, college football is creeping closer, John, and we're both going to be down at Big Ten Media Days. Anthony, all that your crew at Wolverine.com, and a lot of my colleagues, including Jack Ebling, going to be down there. I'm just super excited about this Big Ten Media Days. It has so much an intriguing element to it. Michigan is a defending Big Ten championship. I've never been down to a media day when that happened anytime recently, maybe in 2005, I guess, but it's going to be a different flavor, and particularly that opening press conference with Kevin Warren, people asking him about, okay, what's this expansion deal going on? Is it going to go to 20 and why UCLA and USC? It's going to be a lot of machine gun bomber questions being posed.
No question. And it will be Commissioner Warren, no doubt, saying, well, we're pleased with what we have right now, and any speculation about the future is just that.
Hey, you wrote the script. You could be a PR guy, JB, Warren. Why don't you just do that, you know, your next gig?
I know how it works, and we're going to talk about how it works, what we expect to hear and see down there, maybe some memorable moments from past Big Ten meetings before Big Ten football meetings. And we're first of all, though, I want to talk about the guys that Michigan has chosen to send down there and represent the Wolverines, in addition to, of course, Jim Harbaugh, because I think it says something about the trust that have been placed in these young men. It's a special deal, because that means you have not only advanced on the field as a player, but it also means that the powers that be, the coaches and support staff, trust you to go down there and not pop off crazily and be responsible and be just a good representative of Michigan. Michigan's got tons of guys that can do that, but the four that are going to be down there, of course, are Cade McNamara, last year's starting quarterback. Many say this year's starting quarterback. We'll talk about that. I see Tom Crawford smiling.
I don't want to go there. I don't want to be accused of us always talking about this quarterback controversy. I'm done talking about it. I'm just talking about the quarterback.
Okay, right. Okay. Well, the quarterback who will be in Indianapolis for the Big Ten meetings is Cade McNamara. Eric Aull, the big tight end that is really coming into his own. Mazi Smith, who is going to be expected to be a real stalwart on that defensive line, which is rebuilt, of course, and DJ Turner, who has come a long way as a cornerback for the Wolverines, and being he'll be a key part of a revamped defensive backfield. Talk about each of those guys a little bit, and how vital they will be, not only to leadership aspects of some remade parts of the Michigan attack, but also what you expect out of them individually.
Okay, I'm going to start. We'll leave Cade for last, okay? So Let me start with Eric Hall. And when I think of Eric Hall, I mean, I think about big plays. I think about leadership. But I think about the one play that maybe if you wanted to – I mean, there's a lot of plays you could say – that earned Michigan a crown, a Big Ten championship crown. But that catch against Penn State, that was a huge win up at State College. You know the touchdown pass I'm talking about, that reception that he made? That was a tight game, a big-time game, and he made it. And he showed a lot of speed on that, maybe for more than a tight end you would see. When I think of these three, or, you know, these four guys, and I think of them in different reasons. So, Eric Hall, I think of that big play, and I think of big plays he has up ahead this year. God forbid he didn't get hurt, he has a healthy season. I think he's going to be a dynamic tight end, another great Michigan tight end who moves on to the next level. When I think of Mozzie Smith, John, I think of it's finally happening. That. You know, the potential that we always heard about. Remember when he came in as a freshman, and that's all we talked about. This Mozzie Smith's going to be the next standout in the interior line, much needed. And last year he finally came into his own. He had a great spring, and you hear about the leadership that comes out here. And these are all four of these guys are leaders, and it doesn't always just automatically. I digress in this conversation, but going, that means that these are the captains, you know, that doesn't necessarily equate to that, but they are leaders, and you don't have to be a captain on a college football team to be a leader. There are a lot of leaders, and sometimes you get better leadership from the non-captain. So, I think Mozzie's going to have that complete year, that we've been waiting for. JT Turner, all I remember about, in a lot of the post-game press conferences, sometimes when Harbaugh talks, a name consistently keeps coming up. You know how he name drops certain guys? He throws them out rapid fire. But one that was consistency was JT Turner. And he had kept referring to him. I remember four or five different times in the post-game at Chrysler, Harbaugh coming off a win, all press conferences were coming off wins. They only lost was on the road in regular season in East Lansing, was JT Turner's name about the physicality and the maturation. And wow, I mean, so that says a lot and doesn't surprise me that he's among the men, the mix as leaders. Okay, your man, Cade McNamara.
My man.
Your man. And, you know, once again, as I preface at the start of this podcast, I'm not going to go into, you know, the JJ Cade controversy. But I just want great quarterback play. And whether it's him or it's JJ, I think it's coming. I think one of the two are going to have a really solid – they both might have a great year. But it's vital that you get great quarterback play. And Michigan is not lacking great quarterback play. I think Cade shows a lot of toughness. I mean, I think he's deceptively I think he's faster than we think he's fat. I mean, I remember a little quarterback draw play where he made, you know, broken play draw play, quarterback draws. He actually made a scramble. He made some big time plays in a couple of games. So I think he's a tough kid. I think he's a leader. I'd like to see if he does have to share more of it, the snaps, if you will, at quarterback. I trust that he's going to be as positive as he was as getting the majority of the snaps. That isn't always the case. I hope that's the case. I think that's going to be the case.
Could be the story of college football this year, the two-headed quarterback attack at Michigan, a high-powered offense led by two very capable signal callers. We'll see how it all plays out. We'll save that big discussion for another time. I want to talk a little bit about the sort of the nuts and bolts of how the Big Ten football meetings work. We've both been to many, many of those over the years, and I guarantee you that at some point during these days, there will be an Ohio-based reporter who asks Kate McNamara.
Hey, say hi to Tim Mayer. Hi, Tim. Good to see you, Tim.
A question along these lines. Kate, do you think, obviously, you took down Ohio State. Do you feel like this is probably the new normal for Michigan versus Ohio State, and this is going to be something that happens over and over again? And on the flip side, there will probably be a Michigan reporter, Michigan-based reporter, who says, to one of the Ohio State players that are down there, here's what happened. Obviously, you guys lost, and you'll be looking for revenge. Do you think that can you guarantee that the Buckeyes are going to defend their home turf and take down the Wolverines back maybe in the fashion that they did a couple years ago and those sorts of things? I think that there is – now, I don't want to impugn my own profession. I think there will be a high level of professionalism there at times, but I also think they understand that if you lead these players into saying something that makes big headlines, then they make big headlines.
Well, you know, you've been doing this for 30 years, okay? I rejoined the media 20 years ago from the start of my career, 40 years ago. But it's so different now. I'm answering a question that I would pose to you, and I know how you'd answer it. I mean, how's it changed the media? There's a lot of fan media based media. It's just not conventional. The Bob Winowskis and Angelique Chingelis of the world are the exception as opposed to the rule. So a lot of these, the media are fan-based media where, you know, the media people want that certain team to win. But I swear to God, Ohio State media, when you have to fill in, the Big Ten sends you the credential form, they should sign in as Michigan media, because they're there to cover Michigan more than they are Ohio State. I mean, when Harbaugh has his little scrum, you know, when he goes, the Ohio State media, they're stalking their spots before anybody else is to talk to Harbaugh. More so even than Ryan Day when he comes on the next day, and they have them separate days. Always Michigan's typically the first day and Ohio State the second day. But it seems to be an antagonistic type, unless you're talking to Kirk Ferentz, because everybody loves Kirk. He's non-controversial. There's nothing exciting about an Iowa press conference with their players. But Michigan, Ohio State, there's always somebody poking a stick. And it's Ohio State media poking the stick at Jim Harbaugh or at Michigan players. That's the biggest takeaway of the whole two-day process. I don't see Michigan media. I don't see you, John, going over there stalking Ryan Day with the, you know, the drive, you know, and the obsession that Ohio State has for Michigan. I don't see that as a comparable at all. I mean, you're over there, but you're not, and Angelique's over there talking to Ryan Day, but it's not in these questions to try to provoke all these, you know. It's just like post game in the Michigan Ohio State game, especially if Michigan loses. I mean, they fill the seats over at Christ. They want to get Harbaugh pissed off and say something, you know, stupid in their minds. And so that's my whole thing about this Big Ten media days. Kind of annoying, but that's just the way it is.
I will not ask Ryan Day why his team came up 73 points short of hanging 100 on Michigan.
Perfect question.
Somebody may ask that, but I'm not planning to. I will say one other thing. You talked about the change in media from just large professional organizations to more fan media. Even the large professional organizations never had people who were simultaneously churning out all these stories for their newspapers and their websites.
Good point.
And at the same time building a Twitter following.
Yes.
You know,
that's
a big difference.
I'll tell you what, here's my image of a media. One guy, his left hand is on his tablet or his laptop and he's doing this and he's texting in his other hand. I mean, this is the way I'm doing this right now. I mean, that's just, it's crazy. And it's just constant content being pushed and pushed and pushed. And if you think Big Ten media days, I mean, I think the SEC media days go 4 or 5 days, and it's just a carnival of content and controversy and people making, you know, statements about youth and how bad the youth and, you know, is in today's society and other tangents. And But I still love this event in the Big Ten media days. I think it's more normal than probably much more normal than the SEC or even the Big 12 is. And it's a great event. I learned so much. I learned from talking to the John Bortons of the world down there over a sandwich and other people I have friends that cover other schools that I met over the years, and Tom Deanhart of Purdue. I see you there, Tom. I mean, those are that's where you really learn about what's going on in the Big Ten, talking to some of the writers of the other schools.
Absolutely. And I gain an appreciation for players from other teams that are smart, are well-spoken, have been singled out in the same way these guys that we talked about from Michigan have been singled out to represent. And I would say for the most part, you come away pretty impressed with these young men. Let me ask you, we've had a summer to digest everything that's been said about Michigan. We know it's going to have a lot of talent on offense. We know that there are some guys like Mozzie Smith and DJ Turner on defense that are very talented and will be called upon to lead younger players that need to come along in a hurry. Those sorts of things. Would you say, Tom Crawford, that you are more confident in this Michigan team right now heading towards the start of training camp or less so, and why?
Well, I'm more confident where this program was versus a year ago because they finally won a Big Ten championship. I mean, that's just, you know, I was wondering if it was ever going to happen. And it happened. So once you know, it's like getting that first basket scored, you know, the lid is off if you're going through a drought. And I'm confident where the program is. I think the competition, I think Ohio State's going to be breathing fire when the Wolverines come down there. And I think Michigan State, you know, people get tired of me throwing my concern about Michigan State. But let me tell you this. I'll just make this statement. When Mel Tucker asked Alan Haller, the AD, for something, you know, tell him to jump, tell him how, you know, Alan says, like, how high? I'm just saying Alan Haller is complying to Mel Tucker's needs in that program. And Mel Tucker wants to be Michigan State to be at SEC caliber when he was at Georgia. Well, so it's a very aggressive approach. So I got Ohio State to worry about. I got Michigan State to worry about. And those are the two rivals of Michigan. So, you know, I got that on a worry platter, but I am more confident about Michigan.
Let me stop you there for just a second. And the last thing that you brought up leads me to a question that I hadn't thought about asking, but is it kind of begs the question. With the installment of one Dr. Santa Ono as president of the University of Michigan, who is a hardcore Michigan athletics fan, including the football team, of course, and basketball. We're talking about a change at the top. We've seen a lot of antipathy from some Michigan presidents and some outright hostility towards athletics, expressed or unexpressed, by presidents. Is this an opportunity? And certainly, Dr. Ono's got bigger things on his plate than whether Michigan wins a national championship in football. But is this an opportunity for Michigan to maybe get some things in athletics, or maybe expand NIL beyond what it might have otherwise?
Dr. Arno is a great hire. I got texts last week from people I totally trust, way smarter than me, about what the University of Michigan's athletic department and what the University of Michigan as a whole needed. A great hire. And what he did when he was at University of Cincinnati. I mean, if you just block in the time, you know, the time frame there, when the Cincinnati football program all of a sudden became from irrelevant to relevant and extremely relevant to CFP, a bid playing Alabama in the semifinals. So great hire, perfect hire. I think he's going to be, you know, you want somebody open-minded and seeing the big picture of how important college football is to the brand of the university. Whether it's right or wrong, it's reality. It's vital in terms of identity of the university. You have to have that. Obviously, the academics is going to be, and he's a heavy research guy, which the University of Michigan prides itself on. That fits as well. So I'm thrilled with that hire, John.
Well, I think a lot of Michigan athletics fans are, because they see a real difference in someone there that gets it in terms of what it can do and the excitement it creates. So we will definitely be talking a lot more about Dr. Ono as it pertains to Michigan athletics going forward. Before I let you go, when we talked about confidence levels in this Michigan team, I'm very interested in potential change in how Michigan wins if it wins big this year. I think that some of the bedrocks will still be there. I think, you know, the success that last year's team had in running the football, being dominant with the offensive line, I do believe those things will still be in place. I wonder if they may be called upon to be in more high-powered shootouts like they were in down the stretch at Ohio State. The Buckeyes are coming. You're going to have to take it right back down and score than they were last year because of replacing so many people on defense. Your thoughts there?
Yeah, that's a great question. A great discussion point, because I think they have to both ramp it up both offensively and defensively. I mean, there's going to be a lot of match play, like a tennis match, you know, touchdown for touchdown. I really think these offenses are getting so sophisticated, and there's so many incredible athletes at the quote unquote skill position. I mean, all positions are skilled, but you know what I'm talking about. And Michigan's got to use those skills. But I, you know, what I'm looking at more than anything, John, and this goes back to that compare and contrast when I was down in the Orange Bowl watching Georgia, is the speed at the second level, linebacker level. Can Michigan get? Can they have that, you know, sideline to sideline speed that the Devin Bush era brought to Michigan? And I think that's key, because I saw it in Georgia. I was envious of that speed. I'm obviously envious at the speed at the interior line of Georgia. So a little bit more speed on defense at levels one and level two on that defense, side to side, and, you know, sideline to sideline. And then just that offense just getting more potent and using all those skills. I mean, they got a great receiving core. this receiving core is going to be great, solid. And Darius Clemens, the addition of him as a deep ball guy, I'm super excited. So they got to ramp it up in both cases. The special teams are going to be solid, as we know. It's going to be a good year. It really is.
All right. And we will be talking all about not only Michigan football, but Big Ten football next week the Big Ten football meetings down in Indianapolis. We will attempt to do a podcast from quite possibly with maybe a pull in a special guest that we could supplement with and see what happens there. I will say one last thing before I let you go. The moment you've been waiting for, the 2022 the Wolverine football preview issue is, as I'm told, going out in the mail this week. So keep weather eye out for the Wolverine coming to your doorstep.
I'll be sitting out there in that 95 degree heat, you know, in a lawn chair right by my mailbox, waiting for that mailman to come by to bring me the Wolverine preview magazine, John, and look forward to seeing you next week down in Indy.
Sounds good. Thanks, Tom.